Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 125, part 2, To Know and Not to Know. Today is Sunday, December 13th, 2009. Happy Hanukkah. There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel alone like you've never felt before. Like a child. His father you want, hold out your hand in faith. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, as you know, is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? No boundaries. Even though we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us, write this down, 612-521-4665. Call between 1 and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday and register your household for monthly groceries. Don't be shy. We have lots of food and a lot to give away. So call us again. 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., register your household for monthly groceries. And by the way, Pastor Paul is the person you will be seeing who will be giving you lots and lots of food to take home. So be sure to come down. And if you don't need groceries, we can always use your help. Call us up. Go online. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations, or you can volunteer your time. So give us a call. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. When you go to the blog, you're going to find interactive links that I leave to scriptures within Pastor Paul's message, so you can follow up when you're finished listening to the message. You don't want to try to scramble through your Bible while you're listening to his message. You may miss something, and he speaks fast. Can I say this? Pastor Paul's messages are the best. And if you are one of those who are listening and you're getting a lot out of his messages, you need to tell other people about his messages. That's how I came to find out about Pastor Paul's mission, about Pastor Paul's work and everything in North Minneapolis by hearing Pastor Paul on the radio. And you'll hear him refer to the radio audience quite a bit because his messages are recorded some 20-some years ago, the ones we're hearing today. But when you listen, and I'd like to hear some comments about this on the blog, make a comment about this. Is it true that Pastor Paul's messages are just timeless? When you're listening to his messages, you're not thinking that it's 25 years ago. So be sure to write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, and you're going to find all that information in the show notes. The month of December, let me run through four messages. Joy is our duty. My garden, his garden. Actually, that one we've already heard. I'm taking these in order, though. So you'll be able to go to online, go to the audio page, and you'll be able to stream that or download it yourself as just a message, my garden, his garden. So we're going to skip that. So let's start over. We're going to go with joy is our duty. The second one is to know and not to know the tender grape. And so you think you've got a problem. I like that one. Okay, so those are the messages for the month of December. Lots of stuff happening in December with the holidays. Be sure to tune in to the podcast. You're going to get a lot out of it and be blessed. Thank you for joining me. God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And what is the secret of the holidays? The joy of the Lord is your strength. God bless you.
We must give God all of our poor life, be it what it may, that it may be used for His full service. Now, you came down the other day. I'm not saying mission is the end of all ministries, but I'm saying you came down, and for your particular need, it met your need, right? And you felt a feeling of fulfillment, and you fulfilled the Word of God. Like I told the young lady that came down here, I said, well, look what all you did. She said, I can't do nothing for anybody. I'm busy taking care of myself. And she was getting frantic about her situation. I felt that in her spirit, a real fear, you know. I said, well, look at all you've done already. You've obeyed God. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get blessed for doing it too. Did you get blessed? Sure you did. You went home and God gave you energy to clean your house. You've been needing it for a long time. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Should we not then submit ourselves to the Lord? Oh, yes, I believe with all my heart to be used in His service and to be spent. Spend yourself. Spend your life. Be spent in the service of the Lord. And even though it is only a shadow, it still has some substance. Even the Bible says angels envy man. They have not got the battlefields, or they don't have the victories. True, they don't have our sins, but they'll never know the grace and the love and the mercy and the totalness of God like we do, because we become one with Him. And then we'll be linked with Him in immortality. Can we ever think of contending with Him? No. That can never be. Rather, let us come and creep under the shadow, it says, of His almighty wings, like a little chick comes to the mother hen. Let us start to go to the Lord and go for comfort and stop contending with God. And He shall cover us, the Bible says, under the shadow of His wings. His truth, is saying, shall shield us. And He shall be our buckler, it says. And we shall lose our nothingness in His internal all. And we shall become great. And we shall become blessed and happy and everlasting in our God. Why? Because we don't contend with Him anymore. We surrender to the Lord. Whatever His will is. Now let us look at the second point. What is best for us is not known to us. You don't know what's best for you. Does everybody in here know exactly everything that's best for them? Does your little child know what's best for him?
Well, I like that the bestest of all. Why can't I do it? I like it the bestest. You know I like it the bestest.
Well, you're going to have the bestest lastest. You're going to eat that spinach, and then you're going to have the bestest lastest. But you're going to have the worstest firstest.
Do you know exactly what's best for you? No, it is not known to you.
So we should never argue with God, just like the kid doesn't argue with you.
About His providence, about the arrangements of things, about the way you should eat your spiritual food.
What He chooses for our lives so many times. God, why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Huh? Now, Solomon wisely says here, who knoweth what is good for man in this life? Do you know what's good for you in this life? Well, your folks say to you when you're little, you'll do that if you know what's good for you. And the kid doesn't know what's good for him. I think they should follow that. Do you know what's good for you?
No.
You know what the parent's saying? If you know what's good for you, I mean, they're saying this spanking is what's good for them. So the kid doesn't want to do it. But we certainly do not know what is good for us as to the temporal, what is best for us in this life. And neither do we know, even in the higher matters and spiritual experiences, oh, I know God has called me to do this. I know it! No, you don't. No, you don't. You only know one day at a time. You only know one step at a time all the days of our lives. Suppose that I ask this question today. You on the radio, and I'll listen. What is better for man in this life, wealth or poverty? What is better for man in this life, wealth or poverty? Do you know all the answers for that one? Do you, sonny boy? Or sister, girly girl, do ya? Well, I know that God wants us to prosper. And I know He wants me to have a lot of money. Now, that is what they're all saying nowadays, is God wants them to have a lot of money. Money. And that's their God. So now they've traded in God for another God, money. Because that's what God wants them to have, another God. Now, that doesn't even make sense. Have no other gods before me. And they're just praying for prosperity. Oh, God, I'll give you 50%. I'll jack it up. 75. Give me a 4 million. I would too. You understand what I'm saying here? Maybe you don't want to understand, see? Because you already know what the will of God is for you. That you be rich. Well, comfortable, a million maybe, you know. I'm just going by what the Scripture says here. For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? Now God has gave this man all wisdom. All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Are you very, very sure, sir, that God wants you to be very, very rich? Oh, wealth, we so love it. Oh, how we love it. Yet Paul says, how hard it is for them who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. And then Paul wrote also to Timothy, that they will be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Oh, money makes it easy. Wouldn't money make it easy for the person to go out and do things that are wrong? And yet, poverty has brought about many evils also. So, I just don't know. I can't make up my mind. Don't try to make up your mind. Just let the will of God work it out, sonny boy, on the radio. If you're to be poor, then God will have you to be poor. And if you're to be rich, God will have you to be rich. Isn't that so? Well, you can cause poverty to come upon yourself. And you can get all into all the prosperity teachings you want to. What I'm saying here right now, you don't know what's good for you, just like you tell your kid. You don't even know what's good for you. Give me that cake. Look at all them cavities. Look at this report. I panic failed. You know what I mean? You're a disgrace to Ipana. They don't know what's good for them, and you don't know what's good for you. Now, you little gals out there, little hearts all aflutter. And the three-piece suit, pointed shoe, skinny-tied, plastered hair back, cool, Mr.'s cool, walks up. God, I claim this man. And he's got claim signs all over him. Everybody in town wants him. Oh, boy. He knows just how to break your little heart. And you want your little heart to be broken because you claimed him. You better claim the will of God before you step into something like that. That man is dangerous. God, it's getting quiet on the radio. You folks ain't saying a word out there. Radio land. But oh, money makes it easy, doesn't it? Who knows what is good for a man in this life? Wealth or poverty must go unanswered by us. Can anyone in here answer that question in its entirety? No. It's got to go unanswered. No, you cannot answer it. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't make any difference. You cannot answer the question. You cannot answer the question standing there with holes in your pants claiming prosperity. Why not claim the love of God? Why not claim the will of the Lord? Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I have no answers. You'll never know. Never will you know the answer to that question. What is good for man in this life, a particular man and this man and that man, wealth or poverty? There's no way you can answer it. No way. Now another question here. I almost hate to bring it up. Oh, God, don't make me do it. Health or sickness. And I, for the most part, sit all alone on that thing. You wonder how I'm going to answer that question? I don't know. Who knoweth, the Bible says. Who knows? I know, according, like an adding machine. And it'll all add up to one thing. We do not completely know. Do we? Is there anybody that can answer that 100% in an entirety and completely know what the answer is? No, you cannot, and neither can I. No, you cannot, and neither can anyone in this whole wide world. No one can completely answer it. They can quote scriptures like a parrot, but my God, I'll tell you something, folks, that's something that you're not going to know all the way. I'm looking around right now, there are people that are limited by health things. You understand what I'm saying? Problems. Who glorify God in their body. Don't you ever think you can't glorify God because you're in that wheelchair. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that. I'm not telling you that God doesn't raise people up out of wheelchairs, but you can glorify God while you're in that wheelchair. So we can all stop wasting time now, can't we? Isn't that a horrendous waste of time? What is a man? Oh, I tell you, you can glorify God in your body sitting down, standing up, laying down. Who knoweth what is good for man in this life? Wealth or poverty, health or sickness. Sometimes sickness has saved guys from going all the way to hell. Oh, I know I'm becoming unpopular. Oh, I know it, I know it, I know it. Oh, I don't care. And I don't care to know either. All I know is that God has His own way. I am not going to decide the mercies of this life. Only God knows. And so it is with publicity or obscurity. There are some persons whose graces, they're best seen in public, and they minister for the good of other people, and yet there's others right now. I'm thankful that God uses me, yeah, but I wish sometimes I was sitting down there in them pews. Say amen, somebody. Whew. Oh, and this person's responsibilities. Oh, yeah, and my responsibilities help me to keep me on the way. I got responsibilities, so I got to be watchful and I got to be careful of everything I say and everything I do. Because you got folks. Sometimes you get to feel like some kind of a little old bug. Like a cockroach. No, no. So you have to be careful of everything you do and everything. It helps to keep you on the way, though. But many times I've thought to myself, oh, I come up and I'll walk up here. Or worse yet, when you go out evangelizing and you walk in, you know, on the... And there is a sweat in an audience. They work up a sweat, especially when you get a crowd that's eating. And they just get all done feeding and they're grunting. Praise the Lord. Eating these steaks. And they have these great big banquet dinners and they pile their plates up and they carry them back, you know. And you got this audience, see. And they're all sweaty from eating, and their ties are all pulled back, and they're not ready for a message at all. And I wish to myself, I thought, oh, God, if I could only be sitting over there, this is going to be a tough audience. Oh, I doubt if they'll hear me above the burps. They loosen their belts, and they burp, and, you know, they're gross. And I say, oh, God, it'd be nice just to not have to minister tonight. Not to have to get up and guard every word. And Lord, there's the prosperity folks out there and there's the hyper-faith folks out there and they all got their particular little brand of teaching and they are going to pull the stuffings right out of this message. They will find everything wrong that's to be found wrong with it. And if they can't find something wrong with it, they'll find something wrong with me. God, I don't want to go up there. I want to sit out there with the rest of them hogs. I'm just telling you like it is. And so you have to get up. Then you have to minister to the needs of the folks. Then you don't want to say something when you come up. You might, well, you got to be, I'm not too careful. Now, if I'm going to have fun, I have fun. Now, if I want to hug somebody, I hug them. I don't care if it's up there on Broadway or if it's over here, because I ain't got nothing to hide. My God, preacher, are you hearing this? How many are hearing this? But when you get in these audiences, you know, it's kind of like you should cover up. Everything. Don't start covering. You cover up when you put on an air. Huh? Just be yourself. That's all you have to be. Be yourself in God. Don't be your ridiculous self. Be the best self you can be, but I mean, you know. But I don't know what's going to happen in that meeting. I don't know how many people are going to, you know, not like it. I don't know. And I'm not to know. And I got a letter the other day of encouragement. Person wrote me a letter from the radio audience. Thank you, radio audience. You can be kind at times. He says, you'll never know how many people the radio messages are touching. And in the envelope was a dollar. I thought, well, you wasn't touched too much. No, I'm just kidding. I forget what was in there. Maybe even as high as $2. I don't know. But what I'm saying here, I'd like to be out there and someone else preaching about the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. But then I don't know everything, and God hasn't called me to be out in the audience, and He's called me to be up here, and sometimes it gets kind of miserable. Just like you get kind of miserable sitting out there. Are you hearing this? And I thought to myself, there must be some humbling privilege about going in and out of your home unknown. Whew. One who would escape public criticism. An unkind envy of many people and the very weights of responsibility are enough to crush us. And yet I know that obscurity has its ills as well, and many a man would like to escape from it. And so I don't know. I don't know about poverty and wealth. What the will of God is completely in it for every person. And I don't know completely about sickness and health. I don't. And I don't know about publicity and obscurity. I don't know. And who is to know, the Bible says? Who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? One time a person came up to me, well, not one time, many times. I remember when it first happened to me, and a young man came up and he says, brother, I pray that you be kept humble. How many know that's a wrong spirit? And I thought to myself, rather pray that I be kept alive at all under such talk. But sometimes you just look and you just say, oh, well, thank you. Because see, the person doesn't understand. See? Pray that I be kept alive at all, I was thinking, and preserved from despair and lonesomeness that comes from preaching the messages like I do, let God be God, and you listen, those kind of messages. It's kind of lonesome to preach what God has given you in the vein of reality. And I know there's preachers out there that will agree with me. But I wouldn't want to be preaching what is popular. You understand that it's not completely wrong, but it's not completely right, but saying that we know everything. And we know exactly if a man is supposed to be poor, if a man is supposed to be rich, or if he's supposed to be, you know, in obscurity, or if he's supposed to be have a lot of publicity, and money, or whatever. And we claim we know all those things, and we sit there real pious, and we get into small chit-chat chatter, and the whole half of the country and half of the world is suffering. My God, they're starving to death. Are you hearing this? Or you preach what is God has given you, and you're going to be kind of lonesome. But you'll have fellowship with God. And isn't that where God places us? And what we do, where we're at? Oh, there should be no one. Who's going to minister to the poor unless somebody's down where the poor are? And who's going to minister to the rich unless some of the people are out there? It's all where God places us. It's called God's providence. You don't know exactly what's going to happen in your life, but you do know that you could only last one day. Like a vapor, it vanishes away. But I think any man is safe if he's where God wants him to be. I believe I'm safe right here on the north side. You know why? Because God has had me to be here. Isn't that right? Now, I could go someplace out to the nice, comfortable suburbs and be looking around at the nice lot out there and everything, you know, and just step back, get hit by a car, see? You know what they'd say about me? He died. So I don't know. I'm going to stand in a huge building not too many weeks from now saying, I don't know. And say, what are you going to do in here? I don't know. I was trying to figure out how to get this kitchen. I thought, well, now we're going to house people up on the third or fourth floor. We'll put part of the kitchen up there. And my little Greek friend, Nick the Greek, comes. He said, well, why don't you put everything downstairs and use the elevator and take the food up to them? Well, I knew that was God. You know why I got my answer? Because I said, God, I don't know. Give me a direction. Give me the answer. And this guy comes along and says, hey, got the elevator. Put the food on that. Take up them hot trays up there. And then you got your soup kitchen downstairs, and you got your kitchen for the guys down there. Don't be stupid. I says, yeah, that's true. I was stupid. I'm sorry. I mean, I'd rather be stupid, get it done right. I'd rather not know so that I can know. Because if I claim to know and I do it wrong, see, I would have been, you know, having 14 kitchens. Kitchen number 4, come in! How many are hearing this? And so let me close it. Who knows? Only God knows what's best for us. Then let us enjoy what God has given us. Make the best of our position by enjoying every mercy that God has bestowed upon you. Not fretting because he has not given you exactly what you claimed, but rejoicing that he has given you what he has bestowed upon you. And use whatever you have for his glory, whether it's one talent or two or three or four or five or six or 10. Now just think how much glory God would get if a person only had one talent and he glorified God with that one talent to the very nth degree of that one talent. And he passed up the 10-talent person. with the one talent. Did you ever think of it that way?
Look at all the talents he's got, God.
And then you don't use this one talent. And it's sitting there glowing with the power of God. And you're busy looking over there, and this person's got, you know, four or five little... Huh? I only got one talent. Me a shovel. You pick it up. There's a big hole in the ground there. Ah, yes, what did you do with that one talent? Well, I buried it. You what? Well, I buried it. I knew you were pretty hard. And this guy over here had a bunch of talents. I only had one talent, and I wasn't going to take no chances. Did you know that God gave you that talent? And if God gave you that talent, God was going to stand by that talent, and God was going to get glory out of that talent? Don't worry about it. You only got one talent. Glorify God with that one talent. You don't know everything. You ain't going to know nothing. Say amen, somebody. Bible fact tells us not to know anything when we think we do. You can do a lot with a little in Jesus' name, but don't sigh for another's place, as so many do. They sit hoping, oh, God, I hope I can attain. I hope I can attain like so-and-so, Lord. And they're wishing. They're longing to rise in the world, and if they do not get exactly what they hope for, they will be greatly grieved and greatly depressed. I was like a young man. This is before I was saved. This would be 1950. Now I was working in the cafe, and the guys came in there. It was right after I got out of the service, 1952. And there was a North Central Bible College right in back of the cafe that my dad, it was a semi-retirement cafe. And, semi-retirement because my dad had retired and he got tired of retiring and he went back into business again. See, Greeks never retire. They're always looking for another corner someplace. Start up a business. And so these guys were coming in, all these Bible students, and some of them were greatly depressed because they had, you know, it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out. So they thought, no, it ain't going to work. I'm not called to do this. And they went home real sad because they weren't called to do it. Or their parents sent them so they could meet somebody there, you know what I mean? And they'd shuffle back home. And even then, I thought, why are they so sad? They should be happy that they found out that it wasn't the will of God, and now they can go on with something else. See, we don't always know what's good for us, do we? Do you? No. And I know there's a lot of folks who won't receive this kind of message because they already know. Hey, I know. I know what I'm going to do. I'm on my way to somewhere, the two of us and you. Huh? Let me lock it up.
And don't dote on things. Don't dote on the things you have, for they will soon pass away. It's like we are travelers in this world, and like the world is the inn. Now, if it gets too comfortable in the inn, we're going to want to just lay down. But if it's not too comfortable in the inn, we're going to rise up early in the morning and get going. We are like soldiers, I think, on a battlefield. And if the field is rough and if the field is stony, let us fight the battle out and win the victory. And then we shall not mind what the soil is on which we stand. Doesn't matter anymore what soil we're on.
Remember, whatever you set your heart on is probably a bad thing for you. Well, did you ever have your teenager come up
and they had their heart set on doing something? Huh? They had their heart set on it. Oh, I just want to do that so bad, Mom and Dad.
I mean, no, many times what you have your heart set on is bad for you. I mean, if you make up your mind that you must have a certain thing, you have made an idol of it already.
I got to have it. I just got to have that dress, Mom. I just got to have that car, Dad. I got to have that car.
You've already made it an idol. So in that you've already made it an idol, it's already bad for you.
I just got to have a man. I got to have a man, huh? Give me a man. Give me a M-A-N, man, huh?
And you've already set your heart on this M-A-N, hunk. It's bad for you because you've already made an idol. You've already filled your heart with, I want a man. Better give that one up in a hurry. It'll be a curse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added onto you, even in M-A-N. Are you hearing this? And if the idol should really become yours, it'd bring a curse with it. Whatever we sin to gain and whatever we sin to keep must be bad for us. But on the other hand, whatever our Heavenly Father sends to us must be right for us to have. And we may have it and be well content to let His unerring wisdom supply what is lacking through our very own ignorance. But then I think that the very same question, and I really am closing this time, might be asked concerning the Christian experience. Who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? It's good to be full of high joy, isn't it? But then it's also good to be in the dumps at times. How many know? Here's your kid, he's all full of joy. He comes in, woo-hoo! And he's all mud and he's just, you know, runs his bike in. It's got great big clots of mud and ka-clung, ka-clung, ka-clung. Woo-hoo! Oh, he's so full of joy. But now for him to learn a lesson, it's going to be good for him to be in the dumps. And mother comes out, wow! To you too, buddy boy, huh? Isn't it good to be in the dumps at times? Don't you learn things in the dumps at times? A lot of people learn things, and now maybe somebody has put you in the dumps, and that's where you belong, in the dumps, because that's where you're going to learn something. Can you say today, God, have your own way? Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Meld me and mold me, make me obey. Have your own way, O Lord. Have your own way. You are the potter, and I am the clay. So have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Meld me and mold me. Make me obey. And lastly, the text answers another form of our own ignorance. And it is this: what shall we be after? What shall be after us is not known to us. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Who can tell a man what he'll go through all of his life? He may start out prosperous, but that prosperity may leave. He may start out healthy, but then that his health might leave. Who knows? Who knows? Stop wondering what's going to happen after you've gone. There's a song for that. After you've gone, I'll find another. After you've gone, huh? All blue days, they will get sunny. Besides, it's not your business. We must leave the future as we must leave the very present in the hand of God. So in regard to our present service, don't worry. God will have his own way. Let us pray. Let, Lord, thy will be done. For who knoweth what is good for a man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Is the message today. We've got to learn how to let God have his own way in our lives, because we just don't know. We don't know, and God's mercy has it, so we just don't know. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You can have him. So if you tear